Brian Alvarez here. You're listening to the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd.
You are listening to the number one AEW podcast, the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by my favorite host, Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd. So if you want to know everything that's going on in the world of All Elite Wrestling, AEW, then you need to listen to the Kicking Out Podcast. Please tell Thunder Rosa I said hello.
What is going on, Kicking Out Podcast Nation? It's Tanner Lee here for a brand new episode of the Kicking Out Podcast. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit that follow button, hit that notification bell on YouTube if you haven't already, so you know when we are recording, whether that's our live recording, dropping some new content, whatever it may be over on the Kicking Out Podcast. And if you're listening to this on your favorite audio podcast platform, please make sure you are subscribed or following on our channel on there as well. We really appreciate it. That's an easy way to support our podcast without donating any kind of money or that sort of thing. So just me on this recording, this rare non-live episode of the Kicking Out Podcast. These days, I'll be quite frank with you, we're struggling a little bit with our schedules. That's why you've seen some Sunday nights, us not going live at 8:30, us going live at a different time on a Sunday, us not being able to record at all on a Sunday. So we're still trying to figure that out. You know, Shep's got a few little boys of his own. Paul's a father, and he also works a lot of Sundays. I am not a father yet, and I don't have a job that occupies my Sundays, but I'm busy at times too on Sundays doing different things. So, but I love doing this podcast for you all. I love pro wrestling, especially All Elite Wrestling. So I want to keep it going. I know Paul and Shep have the same feelings. They love interacting with you all. They love pro wrestling. They love All Elite Wrestling. They love doing this podcast. We have fun with it. So definitely our intentions are to keep it going. Just once in a while, you might have to bear with us, and we'll keep you updated if any changes happen. But and I got some fun ideas up my sleeve too for the YouTube channel exclusively. So make sure you're subscribed to our YouTube channel so you're getting the latest content, the latest podcast episodes like this one, as well as the other content I or we might be dropping in the near future. So with that said, yeah, I just want to kick back, and I'm not taking any questions, of course, since we're not live and don't have any questions coming in, but I will be talking AEW, some latest news items to go over, and my thoughts on last week's Dynamite and Collision, and as we're heading to Blood and Guts coming up next Wednesday. We now know the field is set for not only the men's Blood and Guts match, but also the first inaugural women's Blood and Guts match. Long time coming. Glad we're finally getting that. And, of course, the road to full gear is hot and heavy coming up on November 22nd. But let's touch on some news items, shall we? All right. One of them, there's an update on MJF's filming schedule and his potential AEW return, which hasn't been a secret on this podcast or on my Who's Next series videos I've been doing. I think MJF is going to be the next world champion. I think he will take it off the AEW world champion right now, Hangman Adam Page. And I think we see him return at Full Gear. I don't think he has a match, but I think it's in New York, New Jersey. He's from Long Island, New York, not too far away. So I think he will make his return after the Hangman Adam Page Samoa Joe match for the title. I think he returns there. And potentially we get a Hangman Adam Page MJF match at Full Gear, or at World's End, excuse me, late December in Chicago. So anyways, we haven't seen MJF on TV since his tables and tax match against Mark Briscoe. Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful Select reported that MJF has almost finished filming his parts for the upcoming Violent Night 2 movie, which is set to be released in December 2026. Sapp also reported that potential return date for MJF hasn't been confirmed, as it appears the former AEW World Champion has been truly bitten by the acting bug and is enjoying his blossoming acting career. Even before he stepped away from the ring to focus on his acting, MJF had a very hectic schedule. Sapp reported that when filming for Violent Night 2 began, MJF would travel between AEW tapings and the movie set, with the majority of filming taking place in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. There haven't been any AEW tapings on MJF's schedule since All Out, but his filming schedule has picked up significantly after MJF wrapped up his time on the set of Violent Night 2. It's possible that he could jump into filming another movie that he is set to take part of. He will be a part of the movie Stranglehold, directed by Clark Duke, which will also feature established names such as Justin Long and Ashley Benson, as well as people with links to the wrestling business, such as Ryan Nemeth and former WWE broadcaster Caleb Braxton. So, yeah, we've seen MJF in the Iron Claw. We've seen him have a big role in Happy Gilmore 2, now Violent Night 2. So I definitely think he's got the itch for Hollywood. But I still think AEW is the place where MJF wants to be long term. So we might just see him on more of a part-time schedule maybe. But with all that said, I still think he's the one that's going to dethrone Hangman Adam Page and be AEW's next World Heavyweight Championship. Speaking of one guy that's a former AEW World Heavyweight Champion and a guy that was one of the founding fathers of AEW, I'm talking about CM Punk and Cody Rhodes. They are featured heavily in the upcoming AEW book, which releases later this week on November 2nd. The book is All Elite. That's what it's titled, co-written by Keith Elliott Greenberg and AEW. I've had the pleasure of being able to interview Keith two different times on this channel for this podcast. And I'm hoping maybe I'll be able to get an interview here in the near future in regards to this book. Keith, I think, is one of the best, if not the best, author when it comes to professional wrestling. He's done many, many great books. I got a lot of them over on my bookshelf over here. And I'm definitely getting this book. It's about All Elite Wrestling. It's about the foundation clear up to modern day. Fightful Select reports that Cody Rhodes is covered no less than 15 times in the book. In addition to being a former EVP and co-founder, he was a three-time TNT champion during his three-year stint with AEW. Mentions of Rhodes reportedly arise in sections about All In, Double or Nothing, the company's flagship television show, Dynamite. His feuds with MJF, Wardlow, Chris Jericho, and Darby Allin are also said to be referenced in the book. Of course, as you all know, in early 2022, Cody left AEW due to a personal issue, and then returned to WWE, where he's been ever since, facing the company. That's not said to be in the book, why he left or anything like that. Regarding CM Punk, he is covered no less than six times throughout the work. The controversial events, including Punk at AEW All Out 2022 and All In 2023, were not mentioned. So glad Keith was able to mention those guys in the book, cover those guys. I don't believe he got interviews with either one of those guys, but they're still big time pieces when you talk about the history of AEW and different moments in AEW. So if he's coming out with a book, covering the history of AEW, the short 6-year history, I'm glad that they're featured in the book and they didn't shy away from it. Even though both guys are not only two of the faces of WWE right now, but also world champions, as we saw CM Punk over the weekend defeat Jey Uso at Saturday night's main event to become the World Heavyweight Champion. Cody Rhodes retained his WWE championship against Drew McIntyre. Jade Cargill, former AEW talent, beat Tiffany Stratton to win the WWE Women's Championship. And then Ricky Starks recently defeated Uba Thimi to become the NXT champion. And I say that all because after Saturday night's main event, all four champions took pictures together as a group with their titles. A lot of people out there in the IWC are taking that as a shot at AEW. And it might be, but I don't see it as a bad thing. I see it more of kind of a playful shot, or, you know, a competition is good type thing. I mean, I remember when Moxley was world champ and Cody was TNT champ early in 2020, them taking a picture with their titles and flipping off the camera. And that was a shot at WWE and probably more so at Triple H at the time. So funny how things kind of come full circle and work themselves out. But I mean, did I like the post on social media? No, but I didn't have a problem with it to which I was going to go online and start ranting or complaining or commenting or doing that sort of thing. I don't have that much time on my hands, I guess, or of the time I do have on my hands, I don't want to get in wars. You know, there's a lot of times I'll have messages typed out to other people out there in the IWC, and then I end up deleting it or backspacing it before I even hit send. So whether that be on X or Facebook or Instagram or wherever, Blue Sky, wherever it may be. So I don't know. It is what it is. It's whatever. I didn't have a huge issue with it. Backstage update on AEW and Private Party. They've been off television for a long time since dropping the titles to the Hurt Syndicate back in January. Outside of that, we've seen Mark Quinn and Isaiah Cassidy compete in had a House of Glory event in March. Mark Quinn's drawn some attention due to his new physique. He's added a lot more muscle. According to reports, Fightful Selects reported that there's been interest from WWE. After rumors about their contract within AEW were coming up this year, there's been rumors of some interest there. They've taken some advice from MVP. Fightful claims as far as their contract goes, at the time of this writing, they're still signed to AEW. It's possible that their contracts don't end on the same date as time off due to injury could factor into each man's individual deal. Neither Quinn nor Cassidy have made it known whether they still want to continue their time with AEW or not, but if the rumors are true about WWE's interest, they might first weigh their options before making a final decision. So, yeah, I mean, I think the tag division is clicking right now, clicking more so than it has in a long time, and it's kind of a bummer we haven't seen either of these guys in the mix. So, I don't know. I also got a backstage report here on an almost year-long absence from TV for a former women's world champion, Nyla Rose. You know, I was outspoken about Nyla on one of the recent episodes of the podcast. I was thinking her and Harley Cameron would be a fun team in the inaugural AEW Women's World Tag Team the tournament for the championships. But of course, with a bracket coming out of the eight teams, that wasn't the case, as Harley Cameron's with Willow Nightingale and Nyla's not in the bracket at all. So Sean Rossap of Fightful Select was asked about Nyla Rose's status with AEW during a recent Q&A session. And despite not being involved with the company in 2025, Sapp confirmed that Nyla Rose still is under contract with AEW. He noted that he hasn't heard any word of Nyla being brought up in creative meetings and simply looks to have been benched by the company with no knowledge of why. She has been away from TV for nearly 12 months. So, yeah, she has remained active those past years. She was one of many AEW stars to be featured on the annual Rock and Rager at Sea Cruise experience hosted by Chris Jericho, where she defeated both Lady Frost and Viva Van, but failed to take the Riot Women's Championship from Thunder Rosa in a Falls Count Somewhere match. Yeah, it's just frustrating. I know you can't find TV time for all talents, but you also have ROH, Ring of Honor. You would think somebody like Nyla Rose, there could be time for somewhere. So I guess we'll see what happens with her. What else do we got? AEW star Kenoshita Takeshita, set for a huge double title match at New Japan's Wrestle Kingdom 20. So he defeated Zack Sabre Jr. This past month to win the title, and looking ahead to Wrestle Kingdom 20 at Final Homecoming. That's where he defeated Goto. announcements. Post-match celebration, Takeshita called out for his next challenger to show themselves. For New Japan, IWGP Global Heavyweight Champion Yoda Tsuji, I believe is how you pronounce his name. I'm probably butchering that. Answered his request for a title match at Wrestle Kingdom 20 on January 4th. To elevate the stakes, Takeshita challenged him to also put up his respective championship on the line at the event. So as such, the two are now set for a double title match at New Japan's biggest show of the year. I'm sure Shep will be pumped about that. He loves himself some Wrestle Kingdom, loves himself some Tokyo Dome, so loves himself some Takeshita. Kenosuke Takeshita. So interested to get Shep's thoughts on that on the next upcoming episode we do with myself and Shep and hopefully Paul. Hopefully it's all three of us, but can't make any guarantees anymore with our schedules going on of how many members of KLP are going to be present on our shows, but it always is fun when we get the whole band get back together, all three members. So Wrestling Inc. came out with a most legendary AEW feuds of all time list, and this is the first time I'm looking at this list live here with y'all. So one they listed is Kenny Omega versus Hangman Page. Yeah, I mean, that was a huge storyline for the first 3 years in AEW. Played a part in the company's first real boom period in 2021, which saw Hangman eventually defeat Kenny Omega for his first reign as AEW World Champion at Full Gear 2021 in Minneapolis. Let's see here. Young Bucks versus Lucha Bros. Of course, Penta and Rey Fénix are now a part of WWE. But yeah, those two tag teams, great matches in 2019. We saw Double or Nothing, All Out 2021, a heck of a cage match. The Double or Nothing 2019, so the AAA World Tag Team Championships on the line in a laddered match. 2021, All Out was the cage match. Which else did we see? Which Lucha Bros won that match. We also saw a classic on AEW Rampage in 2022. In a best of seven series involving Kenny Omega and also a pack in for the World Trios Championships. So CM Punk versus MJF, of course, Punk, I already noted and hit on it during this podcast back in WWE, but he and MJF, yeah, got going in 2021. By the end of 2021, MJF was already gaining some huge steam within the company. They had the dog collar match at Revolution 2022, in which CM Punk was victorious, and with the help of Wardlow, who slid Punk MJF's Dynamite Diamond ring, that started the split between Wardlow and MJF. We all know how that ended at Double or Nothing 2022, and then Punk not got hurt and had the brawl out situation at All Out 2022 with the Bucks and Omega and Ace Steel. We were going to get a story with at least one more chapter between MJF and CM Punk, because as you recall, MJF revealed himself, came out as the devil and challenged, was going to be the next challenger to CM Punk after Punk won the title over Jon Moxley All Out 2022. But we never got that, even in, with CM Punk being back in the company for the short while he was in 2023. We never got that because CM Punk was mostly on Collision, MJF mostly on Dynamite, so didn't get that. Tony Storm, Mariah May, another act of Mariah May that's now over in WWE. Yeah, probably the best storyline they've told with the women, especially one of the best all overall storylines they've done in AEW, one of the best feuds. It was influenced by the 1950 movie All About Eve. We saw Mariah May turn on Tony Storm, beat her up with a shoe, win the title from Tony at All In 2024. And she earned that title shot by winning the Owen Hart Foundation Tournament. And that's where everything went awry after that. And then we saw Tony Storm dethrone Mariah May at AEW Grand Slam Australia in February 2025. Then they had their last match of the feud at Revolution, which was Mariah May's last match in AEW, which a lot of people argue to this day should have been the main event of Revolution and not Cope versus John Moxley, even though there was a tie in there with Swerve attacking Moxley afterwards to set up the match for Dynasty. So speaking of Swerve, Swerve Strickland versus Hangman Page, Hangman on Page. Yeah. This thing, been going on since, they had, their first match was at Wrestle Dream in 2023. Then we saw Texas Death 2023. We saw them, Hangman won the Owen in 2024, tried to get involved in the main event of All In 2024, in which Danielson beat Swerve. We saw a challenge for that steel cage match in All Out 2024, which Hangman finally brought Swerve to his level of hatred by burning down Swerve's childhood home. But Hangman won that title, that match, excuse me. You have syringes, chair shots to the head, all types of things. So, yeah, I think they're always going to be tied to the hip. I think that's that could be WWE's Orton-Cena, you know, one rivalry which you can revisit the well many, many times. So, yeah, very good stuff there. We had AEW Fright Night Dynamite and Fright Night Collision this past week. Both were good matches. Both set up the Blood and Guts matches. Both set up matches for Full Gear. So on the women's side of Blood and Guts, we learned it's going to be Mercedes Moné, the reigning TBS champion, who will also be vying for the AEW Women's World Championship at Full Gear against Chris Statlander. Moné, Megan Bang, Marina Shafir, new tag team there. Dominant in their first match together on Collision. They're part of that tag team tournament. Tekla, Julia Hart, and Sky Blue. Of course, Triangle of Death there. And then Chris Statlander, reigning AEW Women's Champion. Jamie Hayter, Queen Amanada, which those two are a team in the tag team tournament. Will Nightingale and Harley Cameron, also a team in the world Women's World Tag Team Tournament. And Timeless Toni Storm. So heavy, heavy star power here out of the women's division. Some long, drawn-out feuds in the women's division all coming to head here. Really looking forward to that. And it was reported earlier today that the Blood and Guts Dynamite on November 12th from Greensboro, North Carolina, is going to be a two-and-a-half-hour Dynamite, which, given two Blood and Guts matches, yeah, definitely need that for sure. So, and then on the men's side, we're going to have the Conglomeration versus the Death Riders. So, not just a conglomeration, but a majority of the conglomeration. So I kind of hinted on the pod, I think it was 2 weeks ago now, I thought that's the direction they were going for the Blood and Guts match. You know, some of these people like involved in the Death Riders, they've been involved in Blood and Guts matches numerous times now. But anyways, we got Wheeler Yuta, Daniel Garcia, Pac, John Moxley, and Claudio. So this is 5-on-5. The women's 6-on-6, 6-on-6. The men's is 5-on-5. So they make up Team Death Riders, Conglomeration, which is, I guess, four members of the conglomeration, and Darby Allin. So you got Darby Allin, Orange Cassidy, Mark Briscoe, Kyle O'Reilly, Roderick Strong. So really looking forward to that. I assume that will be the main event of the two Blood and Guts matches, but I wouldn't be opposed to the women stealing the show that night and having the main event sing with their Blood and Guts match. So yeah, it's going to be a great time. I look forward to Blood and Guts every year. Usually we get in the summer. This year we're getting in November, right before Full Gear. So it's kind of interesting, the build for Blood and Guts, for Full Gear, for the women's tag tournament. We've got a lot going on. A lot of interchanging pieces, it seems like, within the stories. So, speaking of some of those pieces, Dynamite kicked off. We had Daniel Garcia, Wheeler Yuta versus Orange Cassidy and Darby Allin in a Trick or Treat Tornado tag team match. This was a good match. And of course, at the end, OC and Darby Allin were victorious, which they should be with the big household names they are for AEW. But this is where I got a problem with the Death Riders. Outside of Moxley and sometimes Claudio, the rest of the group, they don't get a lot of Ws. They don't get a lot of wins. I feel like for me to take this group seriously as a threat, especially a threat to the company, a threat to wanting to make a change for the better, in their words, for the company, they got to win some matches, and they just haven't been. Saw the Young Bucks make their way to the ring. Don Callis gave them a grand entrance and a grand announcement, a ring announcement from the backstage area. Tons of pyro. Don Callis is trying to recruit Matt and Nick to become part of his family, his ever-growing family, his family that's getting almost as big as the NWO back in the day. We saw the Young Bucks in action against Speedball Mike Bailey and Kevin Knight of Jet Speed, Dax Harwood, Cash Wheeler of FTR, and Jurassic Express, Luchasaurus, and Jungle Jack Perry in a Fright Night Fatal 4-Way fight, with the winner being number one contenders for the Broditos World Tag Team Championships at Full Gear. Heck of a match. Really enjoyed this match. In the end, FTR escaped with the victory. So we're going to get Brody King and Bandido Brodito defending their titles against FTR. So, and I'm taking my chances here, thinking that Paul and Shep, neither one of them is going to be listening to this pod or watching this episode of this pod. So I will give you all a sneak peek. I mean, my mind could always change between now and November 22nd. But as of the time of this recording, I will be picking FTR in our Full Gear prediction show. I will be picking FTR as the next World Heavyweight World Tag Team Champions. All right. So next up, we had the Callis family. They hosted a summit for the Don Callis family. Callis had a painting there. All the members of the Callis family, which Brian Cage was outspoken about on social media, wasn't very happy about being sized down, in his words, in the painting. So you had out there, you had Rocky Romero, you had Clone, you had the Pro Star, Kyle Fletcher, you had Hechicero, you had the Walking Weapon, Josh Alexander, Mark Davis, the Murderhawk Machine, Lance Archer, couldn't think of his name, and then you had Okada and Takeshita, who, of course, were face-to-face, so they're not getting along for many reasons. And Callis pretty much said, you two are going to get along. You're going to team up on Collision in a tag match. So, yeah. I kind of dig the Callis family storyline, though. I make fun of them for how many members they have in the family. But, yeah, I kind of digging the storyline. They can go a lot of different ways with the members in the storyline. So, kind of digging that. We saw Jon Moxley go against Kyle O'Reilly for the second time. The first time they met in the last few weeks, Moxley was DQ'd for hitting the ref because he was going to tap out to Kyle O'Reilly if it wasn't for hitting the ref. So we had a double count out this time. So, yeah, it was interesting. So I like this slow story they're telling with Moxley. We're starting to see Moxley not be able to win. And I think eventually that's how we get the crack in the foundation, the breakup, if you will, of the Death Riders. So they're going to get sick of their leader not being able to get to win and still telling them what to do. So I think they're going to turn on Moxley eventually. So after this match, we saw hell break loose, and this is where Orange Cassidy throws out the Blood and Guts challenge. Didn't have the same pizzazz as William Regal does with the War Games announcement, but in typical OC fashion, it was pretty great. So, let's see here. We had the first match of the women's tag team tournament. We had the Sisters of Sin, Sky Blue and Julia Hart, against Jamie Hayter and Queen Aminata. This was a quarterfinals match. As I said, it was the first match of the tournament. In the end, we saw the Sisters of Sin get the win after some help from Tekla. So, Yeah. So Sky Blue and Julia Hart of Ants in the tournament. Queen Aminata, Jamie Hayter out. Really good match, though. I enjoyed it. Backstage, we saw Shivani standing with Megan Bang and Penelope Ford. Penelope Ford revealed that she tore her UCL is out of action indefinitely. That's what Shivani was asking. Shivani was then asking Megan Bang, about finding a different partner. Marina Shafir then approached her, proposing an alliance, which Megan Bang accepted, and Moxley told everyone to watch out for the two of them. So that's when we end up seeing the announcement of them being in action for the first time together as a team on Collision. And like I said earlier in the podcast, they looked awesome doing so. So the main event, four-way fight, Samoa Joe, Ricochet, Hook, Bobby Lashley in a number one contenders match for who's going to take on Hangman at Full Gear for the title. Good match, match that had a lot of time. Saw some fun spots, Bobby Lashley getting mad at Hook, telling him to calm down, apologizing to Taz as he's throwing them all around. In the end, Joe clinched in a Kikina clutch on Hook, making Hook tap out, which was interesting to see those two interact with, the split from Hook and the ops, never really being told why. Lashley and Ricochet were fighting up the ramp and everything. So Samoa Joe, Hangman again. We saw it at WrestleDream. We're seeing it now, running back now at Full Gear. So, but after the match, we saw Hobbs and Shibata join Joe in the ring to celebrate Joe's win. Shivani joined the trio in the ring and informs Joe that he'll be signing the contract for his Full Gear AEW World Championship match now. We saw five people dressed in some hilarious costumes come down in disguise in a ring as Shivani handed Joe the contract. Joe says he wants to ensure the environment is safe. Tell Shibata and Hook to make sure he's safe. They beat down all the men in the costume, grab onto a person dressed up as Stay Puffed, the Marshmallow Man from Ghostbusters, because we saw Hangman back in 2021 dressed up as that. So they thought for sure Hangman was dressed up in the costume. Joe rips off the mask, revealing it's not Hangman. He clocks the man in the costume and signs contract. Joe tells Paige that the next world champion is staying right here before him, despite being the better man on Paige. Shivani then proposed a toast to Joe, and Hobbs grabs a bottle of beer for himself, Joe and Shibata. Shivani grabs a beer out of his own and proposes a toast. When the camera zooms in, we see the person dressed as Shivani, or as the Phantom of the Opera, as Tony was dressed up as all night. Nice callback to a Halloween episode of WCW back in the early 1990s. It was, in fact, Hangman disguised as Tony. He rained down some right hands on Joe after kicking Hobbs and Shibata below the belt. And he continued beating him down until security ran in to the ring and held back Paige as the show went off the air. So I thought it was a great spot to end the show there. So a lot of fun with that spot. And Hangman and Joe running back Full Gear. Can't complain about that at all. Collision. We saw Takeshita and Okada defeat Bowens and Caster. Can't call them the Acclaimed yet because they still can't get along. As we saw in this match, those two came to blows during this match. Okada and Takeshita eventually got the win, even though Takeshita tagged and took down, or Bowens landed a super kick on Okada. Takeshita tagged in, took him down. Bowens down, with the Rainmaker, set for one of Caster. That's when Takeshita shoved him out of the way, forearmed Caster, hit the Raging Fire and Caster for the win. So still can't get along, and put that in my veins. Take my money. I'm all for this Kenoshi Takeshita and Kazuchika Okada feud. Love it. We saw Mercedes Moné defend her CMLL Women's World Championship against Olympia. And, man, Olympia looks the part. She looks the part of a female wrestler, of a champion. But, and still, your CMLL Women's World Champion, Mercedes Moné, got the win. So, and Statlander was down around the ringside, and they had a stare down after the match. We saw Maria Shafir and Megan Bain against Nixon Newell and Miranda Alize, making their AEW debut. You might remember Nixon Newell as Tegan Knox in WWE. And Bang and Shafir won the match and looked dominant doing so. Megan Bang hit a Liger Bomb, and Shafir put Elise in the mother's milk at the end of the match. And John Moxley was on commentary and was really enjoying himself, pretty much calling these two ladies must-watch television. So LFI versus Mark Briscoe, Roderick Strong, and Commander, with Mark Briscoe, Commander, and Roderick Strong getting the win over Jurillistico, Beast Mortos, and Sammy Guevara. Sammy Guevara. We saw Eminem TV casting call. Madden was dressed as Taya, and Mansoor is dressed as Johnny. Casting call was answered by the Bang Bang Gang. Which the Bang Bang Gang won this match. Ace Austin, fitting in perfectly with Austin Gunn and Juice Robinson in this group. So still looking forward to when Colton can come back and when Switchblade Jay White eventually comes back. But in the meantime, Ace Austin's been a nice addition to the group, in my opinion. And this comes from somebody who was familiar with Ace Austin's name and what promotions he was in previously to join AEW, but I wasn't real familiar with his work, and I've really enjoyed him so far. We saw Bandido versus Mascara Dorada for the ROH World Championship. And these two luchadors in the main event put on a hell of a match. Bandido successfully retained his ROH championship with hitting Dorada with a knee strike and a 21-plex for the win. So, man, Bandido, and he won it. Won't win Wrestler of the Year by a lot of websites that do it out there, but you could certainly make a case for the 2025 Bandidos had, becoming ROH champion, becoming a tag team champion, AEW World Tag Team Champion with Brody Lee. The guy puts on banger after banger after banger matches, and he's really growing on me. Not that I ever had a problem with Bandido. Heck, I told Shep on the last podcast we did that I remember staying up late at night on like Friday nights and watching ROH back in the day, and Bandido always catching my attention. So I just always thought he had a great look for his character, and his in-ring works speaks for itself. So, and Indra is a hell of a wrestler too. So very fun match there between those two. And yeah, all in all, I thought it was a really good week of AEW programming on television. So looking forward to another good week this week. And let's see what we got coming up on Dynamite. Let's see what's been announced while I have all you for the November 5th edition. Let's see here. I don't even know where this Dynamite's taking place. The Bayou Music Center in Houston, Texas. So it looks like the only thing I'm seeing, I'm going to check another source here, is a first round women's tag team tournament match between Athena and Mercedes Moné versus Harley Cameron and Willow Nightingale. I got to think Athena and Mercedes are going to be victorious in that one. Let's see here. See if we got anything else. Yes. Okay. We got a 6-man tag match. This is probably the main event. Got Hangman Adam Page teaming with Hook and the Mad King Eddie Kingston taking on the Ops, the Trios champs of Samoa Joe, Powerhouse Hobbs, and Shibata. So, yeah, that'll be good. That'll be a lot of fun. So, Hangman, Hook, and Eddie Kingston signed me up for that. So, yeah. With that, I think that's going to do it for this week's episode of the Kicking Out Podcast, episode 251, to be exact. Once again, hit that like button, hit that follow button, hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. You can, and all our social media channels, which is Facebook, X, Instagram, Blue Sky, YouTube, at Kicking Out Pod. is our handle on all of those social media platforms. You can support our podcast right there just by doing that. If you want to support our podcast and look great doing so and pledge some money to the podcast, which we would greatly appreciate if you're wanting to do that. We know times are tough out there for everybody right now and with the prices of things. So if you find some money laying around it and you know maybe it's a windfall or something and you want to spend on some Kicking Out podcast merch, we certainly appreciate it. You can do that two different places, kickingoutshop.com. We have t-shirts, we have zip ups, we have hoodies, we have drinkware, we have all sorts of things on there. And we also have a store on Pro Wrestling Tees in which all but one t-shirt, there's one t-shirt you will find on there and on kickingoutshop.com. All the other t-shirts on prowrestlingtees.com you will only find on prowrestlingtees.com, including our KOP Christmas edition t-shirt. So go to prowrestlingtees.com, type in Kicking Out Podcast, and that'll take you right to our store on there as well. And if you want to follow the members of the Kicking Out Podcast, you can do so on Twitter and Instagram. My handle is at TannerLee92. Paul's is at PaulZarman87. And our reigning defending KOP Predictions champion, Austin Shepherd, is at TheShep27. And that, with that, I'm signing out. Tune in Sunday night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as we'll be back at it at our normal time slot for another live edition of the Kicking Out Podcast. Have a great week, everybody.
This is where I say good bye and good night. Bam!